It was a good day yesterday. It was a good day in Auckland. We had our morning and afternoon with the young people, some of the teens. It was teens versus parents sports day. And Josh said that he had prayed that that the Lord would hold up the rain between the hours of 11 and 2 o'clock. And sure enough, that was pretty much what we got. So thank you, Josh, for those prayers. Appreciate that. Where is Josh? He's hiding. Oh, there he is. And so the competition was fierce. It was tough. But, of course, the parents took away the trophy. Amen? Young people tried their best, but just wasn't good enough. Do we have any photos? Yes? Okay, here's the winning group. The winning group, oh, go back. Taking a photo with the trophy, the coveted trophy. There's me and Bong holding it in the back. And next slide, we have a picture of Archie and Mono with the, and then the next slide, this is Bong and Tess. And Tess, is she here first hour? No, yes. Tess was voted by our team as the most valuable player. She did fantastic. She made some killer plays. She was really into it. We had these, what are those balls called? Big, large balls that you climb into? And we played soccer with those. So we had 6-on-6. And that was vicious. It was vicious. But she was out there knocking everybody over. And it was just great to see. And then we played a round of kickball. Anybody know what kickball is? Kickball? It's like baseball, but you kick the ball instead. Okay, well, they didn't know either, so we had a great time together. So it was just wonderful competition. So thank you to all the other parents and adults who helped us win the trophy. They will compete for it later in the coming year, so we'll see if we can hold on to it. All our supporters and the fans that came to watch us in the area, we just want to say thank you as well. I'm not a good winner, am I? Anyway, it was good. Appreciate that very much. Thank you, Josh, for organizing a sports events for us. We needed it. I am so sore today, though. It's not funny. Oh, we're on today part number 2 of Lessons from the Tale of the Three Trees. And the second one is My Thoughts Are Not Yours. And as we go throughout the month, we're going to look at some of the lessons that we're going to see pulled out of this drama that's going to be done on Christmas Eve here. It's going to be good. I encourage you, of course, to come and see it, every one of you, if at all possible. But these lessons we're going to pull out from Scripture. And today is My Thoughts Are Not Yours. And the text comes from Isaiah chapter 55. Verse number 8 and 9. Let's take a look at Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Follow along. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Let's pray here. Lord, I pray at this time now you would just focus our minds on what you have to say to us today. You have given us your word, your very words that you want us to hear. So Lord, may all distractions be set aside. And help us to focus on you and what you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Savior. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, if there's anybody here who's struggling in any way in their faith or struggling if they don't even have a relationship with you, whatever the needs are, I pray that today you would meet those needs. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in this passage, we need to keep in keep it in the context of what Isaiah is speaking on. In so doing, we're going to have to include some of the previous verses. And he's speaking in regards, in particular, the salvation of God. He is saying that God does things, the way that God does things is far better than what we would do. God is God, and we must submit ourselves to him. So as we look at this passage, we're going to go back to the beginning of the chapter, and we're going to see several things. And the first thing we're going to see is an invitation to be well fed. Look at verse number 1. Verse number 1 says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance." What is the first word that the prophet says here? What is the first word? Ho. Okay, this is not Santa Claus, all right? So it is a get your attention kind of ho. So let's try it again. What is the first word the prophet says? You sound like Santa Claus still. Say it like you're trying to get somebody's attention. Watch out. Ho! Okay, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Ho!
Wow, that's good. That's good. Ho, the prophet calls out. He calls it out loud and clear. He wants all to hear. This is an important announcement. Not every passage starts off with this word ho. And so he calls it out. Something important is coming up. Charles Spurgeon, on this verse, said this. He said, "Ho, this is the gospel note, a short, significant appeal, urging you to be wise enough to attend to your own interests. Oh, the condescension of God, that he should, as it were, become a beggar to his own creature and stoop from the magnificence of his glory to cry, ho, to foolish and ungrateful men." So God here is appealing, and he's trying to get the attention of the hearers. And he starts off with an appeal. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. It's an invitation to everyone. It's an invitation to everyone who thirsts. Only those who thirst will come to the waters. It reminds me a little bit about what Jesus said when he says, you know, "I'm the great physician." He said, "I've not come for" who? The healthy, but for the sick. Now, in truth, we understand biblically that everyone is sick, right? But only those who acknowledge and realize their sickness are going to come to the physician. And in the same way here, only those who are truly thirsty and have that sense of thirst are going to come to the water. If we aren't thirsty for what the Lord can give us, we will never come to his waters. I believe perhaps Jesus had this in mind in John when he says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He is that living water." And those who are thirsty must go to Jesus for that thirst, to quench that thirst. You who have no money, come, buy and eat. Those who do thirst and answer the Lord's invitation, they don't need to bring any money. Their money won't do them any good. They can simply bring their trust, their faith, and receive what God has given to them. This passage refers to water, it refers to wine, it refers to milk, but it emphasizes that it's all free. This is God's blessing, this is God's gift. We're talking about spiritual things here now, so follow me with this. This is a blessing and a gift of God. You cannot purchase the things of God. He says it's free. entrance into the Christian life is free, but we also must understand that continuing and growing in the Christian life is also free. It's all free. Our growth is just as much a gift of God's grace as our salvation was. We are saved by grace. We continue in Him by grace. We grow in Him by grace. We grow in the knowledge of our Lord by His grace. Our Christian walk in life is a continuation of this grace, and we cannot purchase it with anything that we do. So water, wine, milk, it's all free. Once again, recalling the words of Mr. Charles Spurgeon, he says, you are not permitted to drink freely of the water and then to purchase wine. You are not invited to come and eat freely that which is good and then to spend your labor for that which is fat. No, the richest dainties of God's house are as free as the bread He gives to hungry souls. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? In this invitation, He asks them the question, why do you spend money on what cannot satisfy? And this is a remarkably relevant question today as well for people around us. In light of this season, in light of all the massive spending that takes place, the question is, why spend so much money on what cannot satisfy? Only a right relationship with your Creator is what brings true satisfaction to a person's life and soul. Come freely to the waters. Come freely to the milk, to the wine. He says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. The invitation here is clear. The offer is made. The provision is made. Everything is available, but we must still do some things. First of all, we must listen carefully. Listen carefully. Listen diligently. The satisfaction that God promises doesn't come to those who are not listening. So we must listen diligently. It takes time, it takes attention, it takes effort. We must listen. And some aren't willing to do this. They don't want to listen to the things of God. But second, it says that we must eat what is good. Eat what is good. So the things that we do listen to diligently, they must be the things that are good and helpful, the things that come from the Lord. There are many things out there that are available, and there are many things out there that people are listening to, but not all things are valid and equally helpful. And so we must have discernment. We must exercise discernment. I fear a lot of Christians don't understand discernment. We don't understand that we must weigh everything up against what the Word of God says. And so a lot of Christians are following this idea and that idea continually because they're not listening carefully to what is good. And thirdly, we must let your soul delight itself in abundance. Even when we listen, even when we eat what is good, we must still let our soul delight in abundance. You can sit down at a great meal, a great spiritual meal if you would, but by your stubbornness and your bad attitude, you can simply not let your soul delight itself in the abundance that God has offered. There is a difference. So first we see this invitation, an invitation to be well fed. Next, we see an invitation to be led. Verse 3, he says, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Here we have an invitation to be led. He says, incline your ear. This thought is carrying over from the thought of let your soul delight itself in abundance. It is giving a proper due focus, due attention. Incline your ear. Whoever will genuinely feast off of the word of God must consciously incline their ear towards what God is saying. Are you consciously inclining your ear to God? This explains why two people can hear the same message from the Word of God, and one person benefit from it and is drawn to the Lord through it, or even drawn to salvation, and another person is not, because one inclines their ear towards the Word. It says, hear and your soul shall live. The benefit from inclining your ear to God is that your soul shall live. My friends, the benefit is impressive. We do it and we have life for the soul. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. For the one who listens to the Lord, God promises us covenant. From Isaiah's perspective, it was still future. He says, I will make. And the covenant is characterized by the Davidic covenant that God made when God had promised David that his throne shall be forever. He was promising David that it was from his lineage that the Messiah was to come, and that he would have an eternal throne. God showed his great mercy to David, because even though David was a murderer, was an adulterer, God still showed great mercy to David. And we read that David was a special man, a man after God's heart. Did David sin and do wrong? Absolutely. And we know that. We're not going to go into all the story of what David did, but we know he did wrong. But we also see that when confronted, when revealed to him his wrong, he had a heart, he responded in the right way, a heart of repentance, a heart of remorse. And he suffered for it greatly. It was difficult, but he still had a heart to come back to the Lord, a heart to do right, a heart to seek him, to serve him. God showed great mercy to David. And Isaiah says, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. God had gifted David in a very special way to lead the people, but this is also an allusion to what was to come. That is the Messiah who would one day reign as supreme, as the King of Kings here. And that reign is coming. He came at the first advent, at the first coming. He came to serve. He also came to give himself for us as a sacrifice. But there is a day coming, and that is the second coming. And he is coming as the king, as the conqueror, as one who is going to set the nations right and to judge the nations. And he is coming to rule on his kingdom. God is not finished yet, and his timetable is not finished yet. Will you submit yourself to his rulership? This is an invitation as well to be led by God, to be led by him. And then next, lastly, we see this is an invitation to be forgiven. We come to verse number 6 in Isaiah 55. And Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now remember how this chapter started off with the one word? What was that word? Santa Claus again. That one word was ho. That's a little better. Jennifer's trying, I can tell. And that continues. And now we have a call here to salvation, to be forgiven by God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. The prophet here, Isaiah, is impressing upon the people a real sense of urgency. This is important. This is the time. God can be found now. Seek him now. It isn't that God is hidden and can only be found now. It's that he can only be found when our hearts are inclined, when we're listening to him, when we look for him, and that inclination itself is a gift of God. We must receive the gift and make the most of it while we have it. The Lord may be found, but seek him while he may be found. There will come a time when the invitation is over. Every week here at the church, we have an invitation time. And we do this because we always want to give people a chance in their hearts to respond to the Lord. It's an invitation to you. As the word of God has gone forth and you've heard it, and there's a convicting work in your life, whether it be for the believer whose heart is not right, whose attitudes are wrong, or who has sin in their life, or whether it be for the sinner who has never come in faith, never trusted, never received the forgiveness, the invitation is open for you. And there comes a time at our invitation time when we have to say, we have to close. And it's over. It's over. But we always want to say, even if our invitation time is over, the invitation is always open to you. Always open. We encourage you to come and talk with us anytime. If God is speaking and convicting in your heart, it's not just about, you know, a few minutes during invitation. Anytime. But my friends, there is a time when that opportunity is closed. When you leave this world, call upon him today. Because when you leave this world, you stand before the Lord. And you will be judged. You will be judged according to your works. But the invitation is open, and the prophet is trying to impress upon you how urgent it is. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. There's a need for repentance. When you come to the Lord, don't think you can come with your mouth and say, I'm trusting you, Lord, I'm following you. And you continue down the same path in the same sin that you've always been in. Let the wicked forsake his way. Repentance is turning away. It begins with a heart that is turning towards the Lord. But he becomes your focus. He becomes your master, your Lord, the one that you are serving. And you forsake your old self and your old ways. It's not a life of perfection. And sometimes we may stumble, we may fall. But our goal and our target still remains the same. We want to follow the Lord. We want to serve the Lord and forsake our old life, our old self. Isaiah makes the important point when he says, the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Wickedness may be demonstrated by our actions, that is our way. But unrighteousness can be found in our very thoughts. And that's why Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We as believers must allow the Lord to transform our mind. And that transformation doesn't come through sheer willpower, But it does come through saturating our minds in what God says to us, saturating our minds in the Word of God. In this way, we renew our minds and we are transformed as He wants us to be. This is the amazing way of the Lord. And then we come to our text we started with in verses 8 and 9. A reminder of the difference and the distance between man and God and how we do things. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, or your ways my ways," says the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God doesn't think the way we think. He doesn't act the way we act. He does things His ways, and His ways are often not our ways. God's ways of salvation, His ways of forgiveness, His ways of doing things are not ours. How far is the distance between God's thoughts and ours? How far is the distance between His ways and ours? It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth. As the heavens are higher than the earth, there's a huge difference. And we must not forget this. In closing, I want to remind us of some words here that were spoken once again by Mr. Spurgeon. He says, "You may conclude that it is not intended that you should understand the infinite, that is God," as we see this verse and see how His ways are so far different than ours and His thoughts higher than ours. He says, "You may conclude that it is not intended that you should understand the infinite, for you are told that His thoughts and ways are far above you. But you are required to seek Him while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near." And that, my friends, is a must. Call upon Him while He is near. I invite you to stand with me if you would. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. We have in this passage of Isaiah an invitation to be well fed, an invitation to be led, an invitation to be forgiven in God's way, not our way. So have you come to Him? Have you submitted yourself to Him? Have you sought the Lord while He may be found? Is your salvation fully in Him? Have you trusted fully in the salvation of Jesus? If you have, would you let that be known by quietly raising your hand where you are? "Pastor Ken, I have trusted Jesus. I have come to Him. He has saved me. He has forgiven me. I belong to Him." Amen. Of course, so many. It's a joy to see. Is there anybody here that may say, "I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if I've ever come to Him, if I've ever sought Him. God is working in me right now, but I'm not sure about my salvation." Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand where you are? Pray for me. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. My friends, for every one of us, this invitation is for you. You've been invited by the Lord to be well fed, to be led by Him. You've been invited to receive His salvation. So, with every head bowed and the music playing, respond to the Lord. Come forward. If you need to talk with somebody, just let me know, and we'll have someone take you quietly somewhere else, away from others, to pray with you, to share with you. But we urge you, come. Come. Don't wait. Don't wait. Whatever your need is, God is here to meet that need. Would you come at this time? Just a few minutes. Just a few moments. Would you come? Whatever your need is, He's here for you. Seek the Lord while He may be found. This message, important enough to begin with the word ho by the prophet. He wants to impress upon you the importance of this. Would you come? Just another moment. Let us pray together. My Father, thank You for Your message to us today. At this time of year, as we remember the Savior who came, who was sent, and the prophet, many times throughout this book, he alludes to Him, the promised one. And Lord, here we're reminded today that Your ways are not ours. Your thoughts are far above ours, but Your way is best. And may we come to You thirsty and receive freely that water. Lord, for any here who are struggling, I pray that You would work in their hearts. For any who may not know You as their Savior and Lord, continue to work in them. Draw them to Jesus, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat at this time, and we're going to partake of the Lord's table together before we're dismissed. And so, if I could have some assistance up at the table, please, gentlemen. Thank you kindly. And as they come, I just want to remind us what the table is about. This is a remembrance. It's not the same as just a memorial where we remember someone who had passed away and we sorrow and grieve over it. No, we remember what Jesus has done for us and what He has accomplished for us. This is not the passing out of God's grace. It is not in any way linked to our salvation, except in remembering what purchased and what bought our salvation. We remember the body and the blood of our Savior Jesus. And so the Lord's table, we remind you, is really for believers, those who have come to faith already. And this is something that we do regularly to remember what it cost. And so we invite you to partake. We welcome you. We just want you to understand and know what it's for and who it's for. We always tell parents, if you have children who you know haven't come to faith yet, just encourage them to pass it up, to wait until they know Jesus as their Savior as well. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And so I invite you to come and take the bread, take the cup, and return to your seats, and we'll take it together. So outside rows, you are invited to come, to stand, to make your way down the middle, and then return to your seats. Thank you. Once again, the word says, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Father, we hold in our hands that which reminds us of the body of our Savior. The scripture tells us that Jesus Christ has always existed, that he is one with the Father, that all things were made by him. And so we understand that the birth of Jesus was not the beginning of the Son. But at the appointed time, you came, you became one of us, you became a man so that as a man, you could die. We thank you for taking on that body and letting it be nailed to the cross and die for our sin. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 25, in the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And so, Lord, we hold the cup, and this is a reminder to us of that blood that was shed for us. Lord, from the beginning, we see this requirement. Even as you clothed the man and the woman in the garden, a sacrifice had to be made and blood had to be shed to cover them. So, Lord, again, you came, and through your own blood, your own sacrifice, you now cover us. You covered our sin. And for that, we're thankful. Thank you for the blood that was shed to cover our sin, to wash away our sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And we have once again done as the Lord has told us, and we'll continue until he comes. We have a few announcements before we're all dismissed, so please be patient just a moment longer.
Thank you for the message this morning and for the communion time for those who served and prepared. Thank you all. For our announcements this morning, if you look on the inside of your bulletin, we are kind of on our Christmas schedule. We don't have so many things that are happening right now, so if you'll take a notice of the Christmas schedule, you'll see that next Sunday, the 18th of December, is the first Sunday where we're going to be doing the only 11 o'clock service. So if you're normally coming to the 8:30 service, next week we only have the 11 o'clock service, and it'll be that way for the next 5 weeks after the 18th. So make special note of that. Also, our missionaries, continue to pray for the missionaries that we've listed this week, as well as the missionaries whose letters are on the back with the missionary prayer letters on the missions board. So I think that's all of the announcements. But before we're dismissed for our Sunday school time, which is going to include the baptismal service, perhaps someone celebrating a birthday this week, a birthday or an anniversary. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week from today, Sunday through Saturday? Anyone celebrating a birthday? Anyone with a birthday? No birthdays? How about wedding anniversaries? Anyone celebrating a wedding anniversary? Pastor Ken and Jen, Ben and Marge, come on up. Pastor Ken, here's the test. It always is. How many years? He knows it. He's got the year. Jennifer's the date and the month. She knows. Ben and Marge, how many years, Ben? How many years? 17 years. Congratulations to you. You said 7 or 17? Yep, 17 years. They're so young, I thought, no, it can't be that long. Must just be 7. Let's all stand. We're going to sing Happy Anniversary, and then we'll be dismissed in a time of prayer.